It's the Morning Tailgate, hour number two here on Raider Nation Radio. We are taking your calls. Hit us up on the Dollar Loan text line, 702-365-9200. What are we going to see? What do you expect to see? What do you need to see? Sunday's home opener at Allegiant Stadium as the Raiders play host to the Carolina Panthers. Coming up in about half hour, we got our pick 'em 300 doll hairs on the line for a lucky someone who's going to get our expert opinion on week numero three. Don't forget, coming up next hour, Chris Thomas, Fusion Odyssey, 9 o'clock, and then Tim Murray making us some money at 9:20. Excited for that. Had some great calls. A lot more of the same. Not that they're bad, but a lot more of the same in terms of the tone. Some nerves for a game that a good to great team should not be nervous about. It should be about taking care of business, but this is the National Football League. You never know what's going to happen. Still 5.5. Is what we're looking at, Clay?
Yeah, when you think about trap games, you worry about trap lines. That is one of the trappier trap lines. And five and a half for home favorites, avoid those. So it's scary.
Clay, what are your expectations for Jackson?
For JPJ?
Yeah.
I would love to see some outstanding work in the run game. I would think what he could add to the run game is exactly what they're looking for right now. And I would like to think a pancake block. To kind of set things off would be awesome.
I want a stack of flapjacks come Sunday. I want some waffle fries with it. Obviously maple syrup because I'm not an animal. I expect the run game to improve markedly, substantially.
Do you think
and that's
be,
not just because of
I was
JPJ.
Just say,
yeah, it's not just because they're going to run it.
That'll
the
be
left
the story
side.
If they do.
That would be incredible. But yeah. I do expect it to be, as I said, Snake Man, I think, was the one who said law of probabilities. 4 yards rushing in the first half. I know I've said that number a lot this week, but it is just such a what number? And it's such a number of futility for a team who is trying to make their bacon off that run game.
And that wasn't 4 yards per carry. It was 4 yards
four
total.
4 yards total.
Yeah.
Which is the lowest. I believe the year was 95. I believe
for the
it was
Raiders.
The last time it was something that low in the first half of a game. So I'm probably not really going on a limb and saying it's going to be better in the first half. But I believe it will be substantially better. If I had to give a range, why not? Why not? Let's live a little.
Okay.
I'm going to give a range between 70 and 80 yards in the first half.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think they are going to Carolina's thing is keep pounding. That's their thing. They keep pounding. They hit the drum before their home games. Antonio Pierce and Luke Getsy are going to stay true till they get it right. It feels like
you
in this
have
game.
To. You have to. And then, let the game unfold the way the game is going to unfold. That's what happened in Baltimore. They kept trying to pound it. It wasn't working. Now you got to go figure out a way to win the football game.
They did.
That's what they did. You hope that early on that run game is going to be a component that you can rely on the rest of the game and set that tone and have that in place. But if it doesn't, now you're going to have to figure out again how to get it done offensively. For me, with Jackson, it'll be interesting. I don't know where he is on the playbook and the whole, all of that, right now. And I don't know if this is going to happen on Sunday, but I think eventually, and maybe it will happen on Sunday, but when you watch the tape at Oregon, how they, at center, got him in motion, pulled him. You don't often see centers on the move the way he was on the move. He's such a fantastic athlete for his,
315
even for
pounds,
his size.
Yeah.
But he's somebody that can lead your run game. Like, he could be that lead blocker. Just find where Jackson is and run behind him. Let him set that, be that basically that lead blocker. So I'm wondering if as early as Sunday we're going to start seeing him. Because I think the mauling part of it, the pass protection part of it, where he's just staying where he in his little area.
Just pure physicality in one spot, that, holding up is
right.
Not really a worry.
But I think where his future lies.
What's going to make him an elite player in this league is his athletic
ability
to
move. Like the
Zach
Martins and the Colts, the guard, the other Notre Dame.
Quinn Nelson?
Yeah. Like that's kind of what we're talking about here in terms of his potential and being able to kind of set your run game behind a physical force like that and an athletic force like that, and something that the Raiders, I don't know, have seen in quite some time. Like, he brings elite athleticism at that size. So I'm anxious to see if that's actually going to be something that's in play as early as Sunday.
Well, as we said, Jaxon Powers-Johnson not on the injury report for the first time in his NFL career this week.
It's been a while.
All signs,
all of 2 weeks.
All signs point to his availability. And Vinny, you caught up with old JPJ.
I was part of the crew.
Part of the crew, but he obviously commands a crowd. And here's what JPJ had to say heading into what we believe will be his NFL debut.
The line isn't where it should be yet, but he thinks you guys made some positive strides in the second half last night. I know you weren't out there, but just from watching, do you think those guys did some things you guys can build on going into this game?
Of course. Those guys are, pardon my French, ass kickers. And they did a great job. And the mentality they have, the swagger they have, and the cohesion we have is second to none, in my opinion. So we have a lot to, you know, get better at, and that's the most exciting thing. But we have a lot of great things going now. We have the mentality and we have the want to. We're just a couple steps away from, you know, getting to where we need to be. But we're going to get there, and that's the best part about it. So,
what do you like about this blocking scheme?
I mean, running off the ball, killing people. You know, I think that's the number one thing. You know, it's not passive. It's not position blocking. We're going to run down your throat, and we're going to come at you as hard as we can. So, yeah.
What kind of words did you have for your teammates as they were coming off the field? You were so motivational on the sideline. Like, it was almost like you were in the game, even though you weren't in uniform.
I mean, just excitement, honestly, and just, you know, love for them and love for their success. And, I don't know, not a lot of things I can say now, but just a lot of excitement. So, yeah.
That's Raiders rookie Jaxon Powers-Johnson. And was Antonio Pierce... the way he just described what they want to do in the run game is exactly what Antonio Pierce says.
He's absorbing it. Yeah.
And that's not, and I do think he is absorbing it, but I also think that's just how he feels too. That's what he wants to do.
It's who he is. And I think that there's something telling about that, because as I was re-listening to him right there, I'm thinking, I don't ever remember, and all the respect, mad respect for Colton Miller, who's been a Pro Bowl level player for a while now. Or any of the offensive linemen talking in those terms. Like, this is a rookie who's talking about running around killing people and taking people's heads off. And, you know, like, he's not afraid to express himself. And I think that that's great, because I think that that translates to the field. That attitude that he has of why mince words right here? These are our intentions. This is what I'm going to bring to the table. I'm ready to get after it as early as Sunday. I've never heard Colton or Andre, and they're all good players, talk along those lines.
You know what's funny? And maybe this is me just being, you know, someone who does broadcasts on TV and does this here on the radio, but I listen to the intentionality of how they talk. Mm-hmm. And I always find what I found funny listening to that was Jaxon saying, "Pardon my French," and then he said the bad word.
Yes.
Because when you do it that way, it means you don't care that you're just saying it as almost like a formality. Because if you said the cuss word and then you said, "Pardon my French," that means you made a mistake. You get what I mean? It's, to me, it's similar, like, with all due respect, you suck. Like, that's kind of how I took
but
it.
But he wanted to, like, filter it, just because I think probably his mom would probably say,
what I'm saying. What I'm saying. Like, it's
Bill Burr. Bill Burr has a bit fantastic on that. Like, where you add the mother,
that's what I mean.
Like he goes, we'll get into that one day.
But
if you put it in front,
us,
it's bad. If you put it in back, it's perfect.
Right. It gives us a glimpse of his personality, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's who he is. Pardon my French, I'm going to say this anyways.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to run you over, don't really care about it, and I'm going to let you know about it. That kind of thing. I think that's refreshing.
Yeah.
Another word, refreshing for this week and for that line.
Yeah, and he's not worried about what people think. Like, he's not worried about the backlash from it, because he wants to back it up.
It's just that's his attitude. That's who he is. And I firmly believe, again, to reiterate the point, that's going to translate. Like, how he is and how he talks, and the terms that he uses is exactly how he plays football, and that totally comes across on tape when you watch him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to absolutely come across on the tape when he's out there playing, and hopefully for the Raiders and for Jaxon. I know he's super excited about the possibility that starts on Sunday.
702-365-9200. Clay, I think it was Snake Man who said this might be the most anticipated rookie guard debut in Raiders history.
I mean, there's so many things to get excited about, but Snake Man's like, I'm looking.
And he's
I'm watching one guy only.
And he's not wrong, right?
He's a first-round talent.
I mean, he's not wrong. But now that now has me – the wheels turn. The hamster is on the wheel right now. What's the most anticipated lineman that this franchise has been?
I
mean, Colton? Like, in terms of just linemen just being like,
I don't know if there was
much excitement?
There was pushback to that draft. They were there was another, was it the wasn't there a Notre Dame lineman that the Raider fans would have preferred more, because he was definitely still a work in progress coming out of UCLA. So they bet on the potential and they bet right, and that was John Gruden's first pick, right? It was 2018, so that would have been his first round pick. So no, I wouldn't say. I definitely wouldn't say that.
People were very excited when Robert Gallery was brought in.
Robert Gallery he was probably the last real, like, this.
Yeah, everyone was like, because he got tons of national publicity.
Second or third pick in their draft, wasn't he?
Right. Like, in college, he was like the living end, right?
Yeah,
there.
For sure.
It's also, and again, I say when we say, like, most anticipated, a lot of this is circumstance too, because, like, just look at where this offensive line is right now. It needs some kind of jolt. It needs some kind of infusion of, like,
and he's been waiting.
Let's go.
He's been waiting in the wings, getting better, and
and he's become a fan favorite without even playing.
Well, it's
is that fair to say? I mean, he's become a talked about,
not always in the most glowing terms, Vince.
Well,
he heard that. Trust me, we talked to him about that. He heard all the bus talk and all the.
That's not what I'm referencing. I'm referencing.
Well,
like,
now that he's
we're
here.
Seeing him. No, what I'm referencing is he's been seen on the sidelines weeks one and two of being excited, animated, first one
more so weeks
engaged,
two.
Engaged, yeah. Slapping the pads of the guys coming off the field. Fans are talking about. Again, linemen don't get talked about nearly as enough as any other position, let alone a rookie guard who has not played a snap in the NFL. There is a lot of he is working well with the Raider Nation and the fans, and that's why I think there's a lot of excitement to him and the context of the line needs help.
Well, if I were to make an analogy, it's like there's a present there waiting for you, and your parents are saying, no, you can't open it. Eventually, you're going to start getting a little angry, like, I want to open that damn present. And
it's
like,
why would you put it there? Why is it there?
Yeah, and I think some displaced anger was being expressed because there was a delay to the start. Now, your parents have told you, you get to open up that present on Sunday. Now there's like, yes, I cannot wait to find out what's in that box. I cannot wait to see. It looks big. It looks like it's going to be something really fun. And so I think that now it's turned from what was a little bit of frustration, a little bit of anger that was geared toward him, like, get out there, you know, how fans can be, to now the debut is imminent, and now here comes the excitement.
That's why I'm going to stand by what I said. I still think if they win the toss, the Raiders are going to go on offense this week. I think they're going to let him loose.
He rolled with a hot hand. We have heard that before. Yeah, and it's like you don't want to get down, you know, but then again, you're losing the extra possession. But you want to set the tone. You know, there's a lot of guys that don't do that. But, you know, Jerry Jones is one guy that's often been like, hey, if you win, go on offense first.
The
strength
of your team is your defense.
But we got to remember
I think it's kick butt against Andy Dalton. Maybe come up with a turnover. Definitely force a three and out. Get it into the hands of your punt returner. Get some good yardage. Create some momentum for the offense. And then also have the ball to start the third quarter.
I like Kai from the text line. He writes, JPJ will be to the O-line room, while Jack Jones is to the DB room.
Good call.
The swagger will be contagious. Yeah. Kai from the
5'10". That's a fantastic comparison. Could not agree with that more.
That's a component you need right now.
Could not agree with that more.
Yeah, when you think, and let's just for a second let this play out, that this works out, that Jackson Powers Johnson is exactly who we saw at Oregon.
Who we thunked it he was.
And who the Raiders believed he was going to be when they drafted him in the second round. Now, all of a sudden, you start looking at this draft for Tom Telesco. Maybe a top three tight end already, five tight end already in the league in Brock Bauer, somebody that is.
Oh, in this draft class. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying now.
And all of a sudden, this hits.
It's a good start.
It's a fantastic start.
And
when
foundation.
You start looking at, and somebody, we were talking to somebody yesterday about rookie playing time numbers across the league, it's not as high as people always think. And it gets skewed in a way because quarterbacks are playing a lot, you know, whether you're talking about in Houston or Chicago. So they're playing 100% of snaps in Houston, Chicago, or not Houston, but Who are the rookie quarterbacks right now? You got
Caleb.
You got Caleb.
Jaden.
You got Jaden.
Drake May.
Bo Nix.
Drake May making an appearance last night.
Oh, that's true. But that skews the overall playing time of rookies. It's not often that rookies get a ton of playing time. And now with Jackson being out there, now you have two rookies who are basically playing not every snap, but in his case, yes. Mm-hmm. And in Brock Powers' case, as a focal point, that's a blessing that a lot of teams don't necessarily have.
Coming up around 8:25, we'll give you a chance to win $300 with our Tailgate Pick'em contest brought to you by Paul Padilaw, where you pick three winners straight up. No spreads, no totals, just straight up winners. You can walk away with the $300 cash. Thanks again to Paul Padilaw.
Vince, you like to be pampered, right? You're a TV guy.
Do you
get into the makeup? I've had to do that so many times, but yeah. How is that? Deep down, you're like, I'm kind of liking the done up.
Look good, feel good.
You look good and you feel good. I completely agree. And that's why I love talking about our new friends over at Milano Nail Lounge, Spa, if you will. They are at 3458 St. Rose Parkway, literally right around the corner from the Raiders facility. Milano is the biggest lounge in town. And we're talking about Vegas. People get done up in Vegas. It features a 4,000 square foot facility and a support staff of 20 talented professionals. They do it all. Manicures. I know Vince is all into the manicures. Pedicures, or more pedicures. Acrylics, Gel X, hard gel, hybrid gel, dipping, and countless art designs. And right now, they are offering a 20% off promotion for all fans who come in and tell them that Vinny from the Morning Tailgate Show sent you, and an extra 20% discount on gift cards. So head over to Milano Nail Lounge, or call them at 725-204-7384. You can also go to Milano Nails Lounge NV.com. That's Milano Nails Lounge NV.com. Ask for Tony. Tell him Vinny from the Morning Tailgate sent you, and get done up. Whether it's for yourself, a loved one, get somebody that you love a gift. It makes a great gift. 725-204-7384.
And this ball game is over. The Raiders come to Baltimore and they beat the Ravens 26-23 in a massive effort here on the road.
Raiders Radio Network with the final call from Baltimore. And now is a chance for you to win some money. $300 on the line. Nevada residents only. You call the number. If caller number 9 is you, you get a chance to give us your three winners based on the three games we give you. We'll go around the room. You pick your winners straight up. No spreads, no totals. $300 could be yours. If not, it rolls over to $400. Thanks to Paul Padilaw. Who wants to go first?
Vinny, you want me? You want to go first?
I could go first.
Oh, okay. Kick us off. Don't mess it up.
How could I mess
it up? Don't mess it up.
It's an opinion.
No, this is pure fact.
Statements of
Do
fact.
I make my pick?
This segment is pure fact for
I will,
today.
I will
and no one is accountable.
I will highly suggest. I'm looking at the Cardinals against the Lions in Arizona.
It's a fun one.
It's actually much more interesting than I think we probably assumed before the season started. You look at the Cardinals. They went and gave the Buffalo Bills a handful before losing that game late against the Bills in the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just waylay the Rams, and I get that the Rams are a little hurt right now. I mean, they're down Cooper Kupp. They're down Puka Nacua, some offensive linemen, so that's a work in progress. But nevertheless, you look at Kyler Murray, dude's playing his butt off. It seems like a light clicked. You know, maybe all those harsh messages that were being sent in terms of you need to stop playing the video games and be more attentive to the game plan and all that. Something's clicked with Kyler Murray. He's got all the skill in the world. It looks like he's putting it together. And then you have the Lions, who kind of blew a game last week for them. And, you know, Dan Campbell, their coach, was basically crying afterwards, you know, putting it on him for some of the decisions that he made. And so that's a proud team going to Arizona. But I don't know. It was weird leading up to the year. I'm thinking, are the Cardinals a team that we should be paying a little bit more attention to? Because I felt like the Marvin Harrison, Kyler Murray dynamic was mm-hmm. going to be a real dynamic.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking about the wide receivers right now, the rookie wide receivers, who has it better than Marvin Harrison with an established quarterback? Say what you want about Kyler, but he's had some pretty good years. He's dealt with some injuries, but it's much better than what Malik Nabers has in New York. Caleb Williams, I think, is going to be fine, but Rome Odunze is dealing with a rookie quarterback and no real offensive line. Marvin Harrison is putting up big-time numbers right now. I think that that's working, and I'm not going to be surprised if the Arizona Cardinals beat the Lions on Sunday.
Oh, I definitely could see that happening. I've been to a couple Arizona games when the Lions would come out there, and even in, like, mediocre years, they still got just smoked in these games. It's just something about that matchup in Arizona has never been good, but I don't think the Lions have played a good complete game yet this year, and it's only been like two weeks. But even the first game Sunday night against the Rams, they very well could have lost that game quite easily.
All right, well, I'm going to go a different direction, different time slot, I believe, right? Yeah, because you had the 1:25. I'm going the 10 a.m. Battle of the Unbeatens. Going to Minnesota, U.S. Ooh. Bank Stadium, Texans, yes. Vikings. Now, Sam Darnold has been a darling of a story to start the year.
Adam Hill has a theory on him, by the way. He's MVP the first three games of every season that he starts.
Of Sammy D? Really?
Yeah.
Talk to him about really? That. Even when he was in Carolina?
No, I love this.
Yeah, I think there were some strong numbers.
There were strong numbers in Carolina?
You know, Adam, he's sneaky smart. So we'll see. But this is still within that window.
That's great. There's a Sam Darnold effect for the first three games of the season.
I'm about to debunk that Sam Darnold effect with this pick because I'm going Houston.
Ooh!
Because despite Brevin Jordan, Las Vegas star, tearing his ACL this week and being out for the season, there's still a myriad of weapons and a plethora of weapons. Dare I say a cornucopia of weapons. In Houston, Nico Collins is becoming a bona fide star, superstar wide receiver, and he's inching in that top five territory for me in terms of wide receivers. So that coupled with the fact that Will Anderson is an absolute menace on the defensive
Daniel
side.
Daniel Hunter, too, coming back to mini.
I think they're going to stuff Aaron Jones, who's had a nice start to his Minnesota Vikings tenure. I think they're going to make him one-dimensional. And I think they're going to hand Sam Darnold and the Vikings their first loss of the season. Stephon Diggs will be a happy camper for the first time in a long time in Minnesota.
Compelling game.
Brian Flores. I think we're going to be talking about Brian Flores, by the way, after that game.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, he becomes an answer to like, hey, why are they so good? And you start looking at the defense, and it's all because of what Brian Flores does.
Yes, it's going to be loud in Minnesota.
My game is the Dolphins at the Seahawks. This is more of a play against Miami and mostly a play against Skylar Thompson. Skylar, not a big fan, not whatsoever. he doesn't do anything spectacular, doesn't run the ball, not mobile, and doesn't have a very strong arm. And if you're not able to connect downfield with their targets, they have a trouble. They have a really hard time adjusting.
And it's going to be loud.
The 12s will be loud, and I do not like Skylar Thompson.
Tell me how you really feel about Skylar Thompson.
He stinks. If you've never seen Skylar Thompson before, go to a dog park, find a pile, and take a long look at that.
What did Skylar Thompson do to you, Clay?
Who hurt you, man?
Go to a dog park? Holy.
There was a playoff game where Daddy lost some money.
Oh, now we're getting
That's what happened. All right, well, I'm moving on from that.
Angry better.
I don't think you have.
I probably haven't. None of the scars are coming back. So here we go. Here's the games. Dolphins, Seahawks, Lions, Cardinals, Texans, Vikings. Your time to shine. Be caller number 972-365-9200. It's the tailgate pick'em. Let's go.
Here comes the money. It's time to play the tailgate pick'em. Brought to you by Paul Pata Law on Raider Nation Radio's Morning Tailgate.
Thanks for being with us. All right. $300 on the line. Cold hard cash money. Brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's your time to shine. 702-365-9200. Vince, Vinny, and Clay, we've given you the games. All you got to do is find the winner straight up. No point spreads, no totals. And Felix from Las Vegas is here with us.
Felix!
What's up, dude? Yeah. What's going on?
Here, trying to pick three.
Let's go.
Here we go, buddy.
It's your time to shine, baby.
All right, hey.
We need the Washington State Felix.
Yes,
come on.
Can you whip that up for us, Felix? All right.
Real quick.
All right. Vinny had very compelling stuff on Lions Cardinals. Who do you like winning that game outright?
I think Kyler Murray's going to come through, and he's really coming into his own. So I'm going to take the Cardinals on this one.
Ooh. All right. You know, Vince was very strong on Texans Vikings.
I like C.J. Stroud. Also, I think this team's coming together, and they're going to be a really solid team. So I'm taking the Texans.
Ooh. All right. All right. From the 206, the Knight Riders, the Seahawks hosting the Miami Dolphins.
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Seahawks on this one. The injuries.
Clay is smiling.
Oh, Felix, I'm so proud of you right now. Yeah, just for playing, Felix, you get a 2-foot sub from Porta Subs. You can pick it up here at Lotus Broadcasting. Thanks for playing. Good luck to you.
Right on. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Felix. Good luck.
All right. We'll do it every week. If he doesn't go 3-0, it moves up to $400 for next week. Hey, there's another thought from the text line. Nate from the 702 says, when it comes to Andy Dalton, he says there's going to be some ginger on ginger crime come Sunday. Max against, Andy Dalton is...
The Condor and the Red Rifle?
Yeah, like, who gets to him first?
Ooh.
Is it Wilkins? Is it Max? Because I would have to think right now, you got to find a way to stop Max if you can, because Dalton's mobility is a serious issue.
I mean, if it's on the board, I got to go Christian, because he's probably plus money compared to Max. So give me...
Yeah.
Christian's got to get on the board at some point, right? Mm-hmm. This feels like that game, too.
Well, and here's like the Christian thing about it. He's been playing phenomenal football.
I mean, stats don't do him justice.
No.
I mean, Marcus Johnson, was it this week or last week? It doesn't matter, because every week it's fine. But he basically goes, man, Christian Wilkins is just so much fun to watch
exactly
on
exactly what the Raiders
needed. But, yeah, this feels like, to me, a Big Mike weekend. This feels like a Christian Wilkins weekend. And I've said it since Monday. This just feels like Jack Jones is just waiting in the weeds, just waiting. Something's gonna pop for number 18.
I feel right there with you with Jack. And I think this might be a game where a Trey Tucker makes a big play somewhere,
ooh,
whether it's on a fly sweep or a long pass.
30-plus?
Punt return.
30-plus play?
Yes.
Yes.
An explosive, as the kids call it these days.
Yes.
An explosive play. So all of those things. And I'm right there with you with Mike Mayer, too.
I think Mike.
He's gotten lost a little bit in the sauce, and that's fine, because when you have this kind of arsenal in terms of your weapons, it will, and Antonio talked about that this week, it absolutely can be a week-to-week basis of who ends up going off, who has the big game, and I think Devontae is going to be probably right there in every single week, because you, like you said, be intentional about getting him the ball. But after that, it might change in terms of who that cohort is. And a guy like Michael Mayer can absolutely put his imprints on this game.
You know, we're getting close to spooky season.
It is.
And
Halloween.
The puns, as you know, as someone who has to write and broadcast, when it comes to highlights, I'm a big fan of the puns. And Michael Mayer is just, I've got a list of them come spooky season. Halloween, Michael Mayer.
Yep.
I don't want to spoil anything, because a lot of it is depending on what the play is, if it's a touchdown, if it's a big play. But there's a lot of things going on, but just get ready.
Just get ready for Pun DMC.
Get ready.
Are your powers that be, do they mandate that you guys get dressed up on Halloween for your newscast on Halloween?
No, we're definitely not allowed.
What if you did? What if you just showed up as Spider-Man?
As far as we go, I can wear an orange tie.
That's it.
that's basically it. Everyone else in the building does dress up. Anyone who's on air.
Yeah, so the cameraman and everything like that.
I mean,
how much candy is laying around?
The weather people do their favorite thing, because we have the green screen.
Yeah.
Like weather people, it's called a chroma key in the biz, if you want to get whatever. But the one mandate, if you're on the chroma key, is you can't wear green, because you will basically become invisible. So what our weather people will do from time to time is they will wear nothing but green, except obviously their head. So it'll just be a floating head on Halloween.
Where's
the hierarchy there? Is it like the anchor? Is that who runs the show? And where does sometimes sports gets looked down on a little bit? Like, you're the big jock.
Yeah.
Vince, you're the jock.
And if we're wrong about a sport, it's like, what are you doing? That's what you're supposed to. It's like what we do with weather people. It's like, what do you mean it's going to rain? Why didn't you tell us? You had one job. It's windy? I did my hair today. What are you talking? You know, different things like that. But no, the executive producers will trickle down to the producers, who will trickle it down to what they call the on-air talent.
On-air talent.
On-air talent. I'm not a fan of that term, but
I'll take it.
Yeah. We're talent here. We're radio talent.
You could be called worse things.
You could be called worse
jobs.
Things. You know what, Vinny? I feel like I don't know how long I've been here at this point because we've been having so much fun. It's felt like years.
Feels like forever.
But I feel like we've done something wrong because somebody clearly hurt Clay. And his name is Skylar Thompson.
And I didn't get help for it. I probably should have got help.
It was still
out of nowhere. Like, if you were to have, like, a bingo game on who has hurt Clay the most in life, would Skylar... Is it Skylar Johnson?
You bring up like early
Skylar
childhood
Thompson.
Traumas and stuff like that. Yeah.
The amount of venom that was just spewed about Skylar Thompson in a 15-second span.
He needed to step out of the. We went to commercial break. He had to step out of the studio to collect himself.
HR is going to give me a call. Right. Like, Clay, is everything all right at home?
I will tell you where I'm at right now. My eyes are on Miami, Seattle now. Only when Miami has the ball, because now I want to watch every snap Skylar Thompson takes, and I want to talk about it on Monday with Clay.
I know I'm going to watch that game with closed up fists.
Can you picture, like, right now in Miami, or about 15 minutes ago, however long ago, they're working on their usually on Fridays it's red zone offense,
yeah.
And so they're going through some red zone reps, and all of a sudden Skylar's got to call a little time. He's got to take a step back, and the coach is like, "What's wrong?" I don't know, Mike. There's like this buzzing in my ear right now. I don't know where it's almost bleeding right now. Somebody's talking about me.
Vinny, we're going to find out that this rivalry relationship between Clay and Skylar goes so deep that, you know,
college?
In college, how they have the boards with the pictures of like the Joker like, I guess it'd be Sydney Sweeting now. We're going to see a picture of Clay Baker and the Raider Nation Radio logo in Miami.
It's going to be they're going to win 40-8. It'll be awesome.
Ruining
Felix's money.
Yeah, we can't do that to Felix.
I know. Felix came in with like a house of fire.
Come on, Felix. Let's go.
Coming up next, conversation with Dr. Stephen Shaw and Vinny Bonsignor. We also have a chance for you to win these two tickets to see Burt Kreischer over at Resorts World, the Double Down Tour next Friday and Saturday. Be caller number 970-2365-9200. You get hooked up. Chris Thomas, former Super Bowl champion, joins us at 9.
I'm going to have to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
We go out to the Raider Nation Radio guest line to welcome our esteemed friends from over at Las Vegas Valley Care. And of course, I'm talking about Dr. Stephen Shaw. How are we doing this week?
Doing great, Benny. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, we've talked a couple of times on this segment about Justin Herbert over in Los Angeles with the Chargers. I don't know that the ankle injury that he suffered last week against the Carolina Panthers is directly related to that injury, to the original injury, but it's hard for me to imagine, Dr. Shaw, that there isn't some cause effect because it is the same exact foot.
You know, there's a term in medicine called the kinetic chain as it relates to injury. So, for example, if somebody has a left-sided ankle problem, usually translates into a right knee problem, then back to a left hip problem, then, you know, back to a right shoulder problem. It sort of skips back and forth, and it's the result of compensation, or I should say overcompensation. It's basically your brain's way of guarding or protecting your body parts. You wind up putting more undue stress and pressure on the, you know, the quote-unquote healthy body part of a healthy side, and in doing so you actually speed up the wear and tear process, causing even more injury. Again, it's impossible. You'd have to do an MRI every single day to attribute, you know, what injury caused what damage. But yes, it is possible.
Another question about another injured quarterback, and Jordan Love, the great young quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, has already missed a game with the sprained MCL injury that he suffered in week one in Brazil. But what was thought to be maybe a 4-week injury, Dr. Shaw, now there's a 50-50 chance that he's actually going to be able to play far earlier, maybe even as early as this Sunday against the Tennessee Titans.
So the medial collateral ligament, it sort of spans the distance across your knee joint on the inside part. It connects your femur, right, that long bone in your thigh, to the tibia, the long bone in your lower leg. And we have another one on the other side called the LCL, the lateral collateral ligament. And basically what both of those do is they work as a team to prevent your knee from buckling, right? But, I mean, in football, good luck avoiding that. And that's, I think that's why they invented the knee brace. But even with those, you know, we're all not immune to the effects of physics, and sometimes, you know, bad luck happens. You wobble the knee, plant the wrong way, and the inside portion of that ligament becomes stretched or torn. Now, in the case of Jordan Love, I mean, you know, we unfortunately never know the extent of the injuries. There's always, you know, minor tears, or as I always say, you can have 10 cents worth of damage, $100 worth, mm-hmm. or anywhere in between. So likely he was on the lesser end of that, and they were able to get the knee stable and all the inflammation and scar tissue out of there and rehabilitate it back into some normal function knee, and that's likely how he's able to get back so soon.
We always learn something when we talk to Dr. Stephen Shaw. That's why we appreciate having his input. Truly do appreciate that, Dr. Shaw. And again, if you're dealing with any sort of pain or if you know somebody that is, please call LV Valley Care at 702-873-2307. Make sure you get in, get looked at. They have the answers, and if they don't, they'll find somebody that does have those answers for whatever it is that you're dealing with. Dr. Shaw, thank you so much. Enjoy a great weekend. Go Rebels.
Go Rebels, go Raiders.
There you go, Dr. Shaw. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk next week.
You as well, man.
And how much, when you think about injuries in the league, how much will injuries play a part for the Raiders against the Panthers? And we've even Jason in Maryland has asked a couple times this week about Tyree Wilson.
Yeah, he practiced on a limited basis. That's a really good sign. He's in great spirits in the locker room, and he's moving around, you know, well. Obviously, walking around and good. Playing football are two different things. But obviously, if this would have been a longer-termed injury, he would have been on the he would have gone on to IR, missed a minimum of four games, you know, let him get better. But obviously the Raiders think it's going to be less than a four-week situation, so I don't know what that means for Sunday against the Panthers, but it feels like that's sooner rather than later for him to come back. You know, and look, as superhero as Max Crosby has been, and last year he played through two injuries probably the majority of the season that ultimately required surgery postseason, two, not one, two, that probably would have shelved a normal human being. As much as we credit him and respect him and all of that, I don't know what the ankle is right now, mm-hmm. and how much that could impact him. You know, like you give him the benefit of the doubt because he's shown, kind of like a Kobe Bryant, he can play through injuries. He could rise to that challenge, and I fully expect that he will on Sunday. But again, there has to be a little bit of trepidation, right?
Yeah, it's completely unfair for us to expect it, but it's how do you not? I mean,
especially seeing him out there running around in practice.
You know, I think back to, you guys remember Adrian Peterson and his ability. I mean, you talk about a guy who took contact 30 times a game. Regularly,
he induced
how many injuries he had and he came back from and was able to play, and everyone called him an alien. Well, I mean, that's essentially what Max is, right? I mean, Max is truly like you can't compare Max to anybody else, especially in that form, because we've seen countless times where he not only plays through injuries but still looks the same, which is incredible.
There's that, yeah.
And so that's why when I look at this injury report, guys, you know, we talked about Colton Miller and how, you know, there, you sit there and be like, okay, that's something to keep an eye on. And I think for the same reason why we're excited about Jackson Powers Johnson coming to the offensive line, I think it's the context. And I think that's why there's a little more worry with Colton Miller, because the context of the offensive line isn't good. And if you're saying your best lineman right now is not 100%, that doesn't bode well.
And how the bigger question to that, too, is, is that going to linger? Are we going to see Colton Miller on the injury report more often than not? You know, with that shoulder, and how does that affect his play, Vince? I mean, that's a valid.
It's going to
like, you think about an offensive lineman and the importance of getting extension with your arms, but also having the strength to ward guys off, whether you're pushing them forward, yeah,
and the impact from defensive ends clubbing, ripping, punching, jabbing, like that shoulder, that outside. I don't know if it's the inside or his outside. We don't know, but either way, I mean, there's contact going to be there every single time. Another, you know, you look at Dylan Parham, full practice on Wednesday, limited on. Again, you just see these things pop up on the injury report, and that's why I don't like to worry until there's time to worry after Friday when you look at the final injury report and you hear from Antonio Pierce, because you can kind of gleam the tone for who's in and kind of who's out. Divine Diablo, we talked about him yesterday. Didn't practice probably again. Out. Oblique concussion.
Out. Yeah.
Likely not going to play. Again, that opens the opportunity for that linebacker room that we kind of talked about. That I know we've all been pretty excited about what that linebacker room looks like, and different guys being able to get the chance. Tommy Eichenberg looks like he's probably going to see some real meaningful snaps on a consistent basis.
Luke Masterson.
So Luke Masterson as well. So excited about that. Excited about that opportunity, I should say. Obviously, not the injuries, but you get what I mean.
Hey, coming up next, former Super Bowl champion Chris Thomas will get his thoughts on the Raiders-Ravens game, as well as looking ahead to the Panthers. He's next here on the Morning Tailgate.